On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Safer Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. Emergency podcast, the second one in a week's time span now, as Virginia has hired Duke's Chris Pollard as the next head baseball coach of the university, replacing Brian O'Connor after his 22 years in Charlottesville. The new era is upon us, with Chris Pollard coming up from Duke, staying in the ACC and coming to Virginia. On the road, on his way to Omaha, I've got Monty Taylor, ACC content lead for College Baseball Central. Monty's coming back on here because few people that I know have watched more Duke baseball, especially this season, but in recent years, than Monty. Monty, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Apologies for the Wi-Fi. I'm in a Starbucks in Abingdon. I had to stop. I wasn't expecting news to break as swiftly as it did. You and I talked about that, but I'm really excited for this era. This was the person I wanted to get the job at UVA, so really excited for this.
Yeah, man, it's a crazy kind of few weeks, just an emotional roller coaster for Virginia fans. And I'm sure, you know, as we kind of go on here, it's still a little fresh with Brian O'Connor moving on after 22 years. But the thing that I was saying that was holding Virginia fans up the most is not being able to turn the page and look at what's next. Well, now we know what's next for sure is Chris Pollard. And, you know, through sources that I've talked to and, you know, some of the reporting that, you know, D1 Baseball on three and others have done over the last week or so, Chris Pollard has been the name kind of from the get-go here. He's been the favorite since last week. You know, there's a couple other front runners that they put out there. UConn's Jim Penders, Wake Forest, Tom Walter for a little bit there. But Chris Pollard was kind of the guy they zeroed on quickly. He's an Amherst County native, so coming back to the state of Virginia, went to Virginia Episcopal over in Lynchburg. He's the all-time winningest coach in Duke history, 420 wins, 7 NCAA regionals, 4 super regionals, including one that they were in less than 24 hours ago. And funny enough, no coach has played UVA more and no coach has beaten UVA more in the last 13 years than Chris Pollard. Just your initial reaction, Monty, to the hire of Chris Pollard.
Like I said, for me, it was a dream fit there. I think the culture is going to be very similar to what O'Connor does. He's a develop the person first, and the winning comes along with that. It's weird to say it's a blue collar mentality that he brings to the program, because obviously Duke is not a blue collar school, but he brings a blue collar mentality, and that's going to be a major thing. I don't know if he could necessarily bring that trademark phrase over from Duke, but you know, I'm just ecstatic in the fact that he's bringing over the whole coaching staff as well. I think that coaching staff is one of the best in the country. I think I said the other night, even when Duke was trying to come back in that ballgame against Murray State, that Eric Tyler is like the best hitting coach in the country. And the job BK, Brady Kirkpatrick has done over the last couple of years has been nothing short of fantastic. So really excited for them. And it's funny, we talk about the whirlwind of emotion for Virginia fans. But I was texting these Duke coaches this morning to thank them for a wonderful season after a heartbreaking loss last night. And then it's like, do I an hour later, do I say congratulations? Like, because they're obviously, you know, they are crushed that they didn't win that game last night.
Yeah, it's a quick emotional turnaround for them, for sure. I mean, coming from, you know, this Duke program has just been on the edge of trying to get to the College World Series, and now that's a monkey that they're going to bring with them, you know, coming to Virginia now, is trying to finally get over the edge, get to the College World Series, something that Virginia as a program has done 7 times, including 3 in the last 5 seasons, but it's something Duke hasn't done since, I believe, 1961, something way back, you know, before, that well predates all of us and all of the Duke coaches now. But it's an interesting move, hiring someone within the conference. It's not something that you're used to seeing a lot, but I think as far as just the resources, the commitment, you know, a lot's been talked about Virginia resources wise and commitment when you're comparing them to Mississippi State and the SEC. But I think relatively in the SEC, Virginia has been one of the jobs kind of towards the top of the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a big gap between Virginia and Duke, and I think that's going to play a major. That was an attractive thing, along with something I think we're going to talk about a little bit is the routes that Pollard has to Central Virginia, and I'm really excited to see what he can do with a little bit more resources, because obviously the resources he started at Duke with very minimal, and he. You know what they did? They hosted a super regional, like for the first time in program history, which is unbelievable what he's done in 13 years there. So I think you can see a big jump with the resources that they have coming in at Virginia. So it's somebody who can do a lot more with less, and he's getting more now. So that's something to be really excited about.
Yeah, when you look at it, I kind of compared the two, what Brian O'Connor took over back in 2004 to what Chris Pollard took over back in 2013. It's very similar paths as far as, you know, building a program up from the studs up. So they've kind of been on similar journeys, even down to, you know, Chris Pollard got to his first super regional in his sixth season. Brian O'Connor got to his first super regional in his sixth season. So there are some parallels here. Obviously, it's now for Pollard kind of getting over that next hump of getting to the College World Series, getting to Omaha, the place that you're driving to as we speak. It's a big task for him, but I think the resources are in a good spot for Virginia. I wrote about that earlier this week on the Sabre.com that, you know, and a lot of people misinterpreted what I said when I was like, the next coach for Virginia is not going to be starting from scratch. Like, as far as the foundation
Right.
of what Virginia baseball is, as far as roster, yeah, you're going to have to start from scratch because a lot of those players have gone out the door. Some have followed, you know, Brian O'Connor to Mississippi State. Others have decommitted. Others are looking around in the transfer portal. So there's going to be some work to do there. But I think as far as, you know, as building this thing up, you have a lot to work with at UVA.
Yeah, and I think that's going to prove the difference. I mean, they're great coaches. They've also just ran into some poor luck in these stretches. I mean, I know you can put there and say, you know, they're 0-7 in those super regional games, but I think a lot of that's been poor luck. I mean, Virginia, you know, what that 2023 team was unbelievable, and they felt destined for Omaha. And this year, Murray State, I don't know if anyone's listening or watching actually watched Murray State over the last few weeks, but I think that's a team that's capable of winning the national championship. I've never seen a mid-major with that kind of offense. It's unbelievable. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he can do with the resources, but I have full confidence in his ability to take what UVA has and get over the hump.
Looking at, I guess you mentioned the coaching staff here, and it's been reported that a lot of those guys are going up to Charlottesville with Chris Pollard now. Brady Kirkpatrick, the associate head coach slash pitching coach, Eric Tyler, the hitting coach, recruiting coordinator, Derek Simmons, infielders, recruiting coordinator, and Brian Sikowski, director of recruiting analytics and player development. You've talked highly about this coaching staff, but what stands out about these guys that has made them so successful in getting this Duke program? A lot of these guys too are guys that are more recent hires in the last couple of years that have joined this Duke staff with Chris Pollard.
Yeah, I mean it's been incredible to watch them develop over the last couple of years. Eric Tyler, I mean, I think last year, 2024, I think we went into that season thinking Duke was going to struggle to score, and they broke the school record for home runs and runs like that. And he's a very, very good hitting coach. Like I said, I think I said the other night, I think he's the best, one of the best in the country. And the way he approaches things. And he works with them as individuals, and then they have a very good plan of attack. And then mid-game adjustments are outstanding as well. And then for Brady Kirkpatrick, I don't know why I keep trying to call him Brian. I think it's Chris Sikowski, but Brady Kirkpatrick, BK, he's done a really good job with in-season adjustments. If you look at that 2023 team that came into a super regional in Charlottesville, they lost two big-time draft pick weekend starters. Like one before the season, one during the season, they basically had no starters. They had to go full bullpen games, and they were able to get within one win of Omaha. That ultimately, I mean, Virginia was able to get around that because they didn't have to face O'Shell or Talon in that third game. And then he did a really good job this year, where a number of their guys weren't able to stick in that starting role. They move Owen Prosh from the closer role, and he midseason becomes an ace out of nowhere. Kyle Johnson. They work with him and get him back in the rotation. He throws an absolute gem at Georgia in a regional. Just an outstanding job. And then Henry Zatkowski, a freshman, moved into that Sunday role. Absolutely great. It was just really cool to see he does stuff in season when things don't go right and how he's able to adjust. And that's how Duke's able to be so good over the last couple of years.
Well, we talked a lot about what this coaching staff has done to kind of build up these players over time. One of the things that kind of sticks out about them is, the recruiting hotbeds, Virginia. That's a place that Pollard's obviously from. He's a Virginia native from Amherst County, but he also has recruited well there. You talk about Kyle Johnson, or you talk about Talon and Noah Murray, a kid from Crozet. They've recruited well in Virginia, but also in those hotbeds that have been traditionally successful for Virginia, New Jersey, the Northeast, down to North Carolina. What stands out about what this staff does from a recruiting perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. And like they're really big, just like O'Connor was on developing the high school student. You're talking about Zadkowski this year, Kyle Johnson, AJ Gracia, those guys. But they're also really good at finding, exploring other things. Something like the Ivy League, the rule there with the graduate transfers, where they can't do graduate school and maintain eligibility in the Ivy League, so they have to transfer out. They were able to take advantage of those COVID years and get guys like Jake Berger, Ben Rounds, Ben Miller. Logan Bravo last year to kind of come in, and it's just kind of what they're able to do is find little ways to make that work. And going back to the hotbeds that we talked about, I mean, New Jersey, AJ Gracia, who's going to be a top five draft pick next year, is from New Jersey, which is a big hotbed for Virginia. So I love what Pollard's able to do because it's a perfect fit culturally, the transition there from Oak to Pollard. But you've also got, the recruiting area is the same. And then also, you've got somebody who can do more with less, but is getting more. So that's something that's really exciting about Chris Pollard and that staff and what they're able to do recruiting wise.
Yeah, you're always looking for in these situations, what have you done before when you maybe have less resources, and how can you kind of translate that up a level? And that's what Chris Pollard gets to do now at Virginia. We've seen, I think, arguably, Brian O'Connor's recruiting has heated up in recent years in Charlottesville. You look at the class that they brought in this year with James Nunley, Tomas Valančiūnas, those guys have gone now with him to Mississippi State, but it shows that Virginia still has a good pull in the recruiting right now. And I think Chris Pollard can kind of capitalize that. One interesting thing is his top recruit right now in his class is a Virginia prospect in Noah Yoder, a pitcher from right out here in Mechanicsville and Atlee. So that'll be interesting to kind of track and see. And we could talk about some of the Duke players as well. I mean, you mentioned, because it's the circle of life now in college baseball. All these players follow Brian O'Connor to Mississippi State. Who follows Chris Pollard up to Charlottesville now? And kind of how that works. You've mentioned a couple, AJ Gracie, obviously he's the big name, but there's some other really good underclassmen on this Duke roster too.
Yeah, like AJ Gracie is obviously the big one. Like I said, he might be up there for 1-1 with Justin LeBron, Drew Burris, Kowalski at UCLA. But Lincoln Winslow is a guy I'm really high on. If you see any of my tweets in the last couple of days, I think he could have a Kyle Peel-esque jump. He took over the catching duties as a sophomore full time, and we remember how Kyle kind of adjusted to that, right? He kind of had an off year as a sophomore, but then once he got that defensive prowess down behind the plate. He had an ACC Player of the Year situation as a junior. And it's just in college age. These guys aren't necessarily coming to Virginia for the school. They're coming to Virginia to play for Brian O'Connor, or they're coming to Duke to play for Chris Pollard. So it makes sense that they might have some guys because they do love Chris Pollard. Henry Zatkowski is a guy. It's very easy to make comparisons to Santini because he's a tall, left-handed guy wearing that same number. That's somebody I would love to see come to Virginia. A very different pitcher than Santini. He's got a lot more command, fills up the zone a lot more. Kyle Johnson, you mentioned he's a Virginia native. I mean, that's somebody I'd love to see come to up here. He's a two-way guy. He's got more professional upside as a pitcher, I think. But we saw what he could do on Friday night when he absolutely lit up the Durham sky by going 4-for-4 when AJ Gracia had that ridiculous suspension. But yeah, there's at least three guys there that could go in the first round, as I just mentioned. And then you've got Noah Murray, who's from Crozet. You've got Sam Harris, who's from Iowa, but has, I mean, that guy has the most raw power I've ever seen. 6'6", I say corn-fed power. It's just, I'm not sure which ones might come over, so I'm just kind of naming all these guys that I like. But yeah, there's a good group at Duke there that could, some of those names could find a way to Charlottesville.
And that's one of the biggest things with this hire, a lot of comparisons to kind of Ryan Odom, because it seemed like the most logical hire, and it was kind of the best hire. Even sometimes the most logical is the best hire. And that's kind of how I felt with Ryan Odom, and that's how I feel with Chris Pollard now. But unlike Ryan Odom, most of his roster was graduating at VCU, so he couldn't really bring many with him. Chris Pollard has a lot in the tank that he could bring to Virginia to kind of get this kink thing a little restarted quicker. Because everyone was freaking out, we like Chris Pollard, but how long do we want to wait for him if they go to the College World Series? All along, I'm saying, like, you just got to wait for the right guy. It doesn't matter what next season rosters look like if you don't have the right guy. And that's what Virginia did. They showed patience and they waited for Chris Pollard. And obviously, it helped that Murray State kind of made that comeback last night and ended Duke's season a little earlier than they wanted. But it allowed this all kind of play out. So I know Virginia fans were happy with the game last night. I know Duke fans, obviously, it's a different kind of feeling for them today as they lose, don't get to go to the College World Series, and now lose their head coach. But yeah, I think it works out well. A little bit more background. Obviously, you mentioned the ties to the state. This was fun. Just thinking back, is I mentioned earlier, Chris Pollard has played Virginia 41 times in the last couple of years, but they also faced each other when he was at App State back in the 2012 Charlottesville Regional. So it's fun to go back then. Not for Virginia fans though, because App State upset Virginia in that game on Saturday night. It's just so it's funny kind of thing how things kind of come back along. And App State eventually lost to Oklahoma in the regional championship. But Chris Pollard, he's got a history with Virginia.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I'm so excited for Chris Pollard. It's a very weird feeling because again, obviously, I'm very crushed for what happened to them last night. But I'm also like, I know Virginia fans aren't already here, but I was also very happy for O'Connor for getting what he I feel he deserved as a person. And that's what Chris Pollard as a person, working that relationship with him over the last couple of years, has been fantastic. He is a good guy, and that's something I think is important for Virginia fans. What we had with O'Connor. And the Virginia roots are strong. I mean, the Virginia Episcopal School connecting, being from Central Virginia, and I think that's what really drew him here. So I mean, if you recall, he was connected to the Miami job before JD took it, and he ended up turning that down, from what I understand. So this had to be the right job for him, and with it being Virginia, I think that played a factor. And it is funny to see all the success he's had at UVA. I mean, they just swept Virginia. They were coming off a sweep at Stanford, and Duke looked kind of dead at that point. And then Duke turned around and swept Virginia in Charlottesville for the first time, I believe, in program history.
I was looking up, you mentioned the Miami job. There's also talk with the South Carolina job last summer. And someone posted a quote to our message board that I guess he was quoted back in 2023 with that Miami job. And he said, the best advice I've gotten is don't mess with happy, which is interesting because, obviously that's what he said a couple of years ago. Maybe you can be happier. I mean, and I think that's kind of a situation where, you get to go back. You get to go back home, kind of in Central Virginia, and you get to, take over a program that has just, a ton of respect around the sport, no matter what the SEC says. I know you're getting a lot of mentions the last couple of days from SEC fans, Monty.
Oh yeah. Luckily, I have notifications off, so they just go into the void. But yeah, no, it's been great to see to see all this come together for Pollard. And again, like I can't say enough nice things about him because he has opened the doors for me at Duke. Like I'm people that don't know, Preston knows I grew up a UVA guy. I am a UVA guy, and so there's part of me that has really struggled with all the love I've given for Duke over the last couple of years because I grew up hating Duke basketball, right? So there are always times where I'm sitting down like, man, I really love Duke baseball. That's so weird. Part of that is the access and how good a person he is and what he brings to the table. Durham is very similar to Charlottesville in terms of, I think, the cities and towns. I think it's just one of those times where it's the right job at the right time at the right moment, and it's worked. It's gonna, I think it's gonna work out well for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to. We talked about how much he's built this program. This is one stat when I was putting the article together for his announcement and everything, is Duke had one winning ACC season from 1964 to 2013. Let that like settle into your head. Like that is a major job. And Brian O'Connor built Virginia from the studs up. But I think even then he had a little bit more of a head start than what, Chris Pollard had to do at Duke. So it's all the more exciting just the kind of the work that he's put into that program. And then also, I mean, they're going through the renovations right now to Jack Coombs Field to get that going. It looked like a great atmosphere. I mean, you were there. What is talk about that atmosphere that he's kind of built up and his connection to the community down there.
Yeah, I mean, they were really excited to host that super regional. I think some people asked, like, I had some SEC people ask me why they didn't have that at the DZAP when the bowls were out of town. And it's like they want that on campus. And they managed to shove 2,700 people in that stadium. It was very intimate. I will say there's a lot of basketball fans at Duke that were probably there that, they got excited over every fly ball in the air, whether it was a pop-up or not. So that was a little bit difficult sometimes as as we do, we're looking down and we look up and see something and I'm thinking it's a home run, but it's a shallow fly out. But the atmosphere was fantastic and what he's built there. It's funny you mentioned that because I did know that stat because I was actually working on an article for to kind of talk about how good a job this coaching staff has done. And assuming they might make it to Omaha because I started it after they'd won game one. And then I was like, oh man, well, this got scrapped. And now I might be able to shift it into introducing the coaching staff to UVA fans. But what Pollard's done since 2013 is unbelievable. The number of pros prospect as well. I actually interviewed his first team captain, who's an assistant at Notre Dame, Ryan Munger. And he made a joke right off the bat. He's like, yeah, I love what Pollard's done because I played for Pollard for just 1 year. Back when we were still bad, and I'm getting all the praise for being a Duke guy, even though they were terrible most of the time under my like the entire time I was there. So, what he's done, I mean, unbelievable. And it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with the recruits because obviously you've got guys, they're going to want to try and retain Eric Becker. I imagine he's still out there. You mentioned Noah Yoder, who I mean, I think he throws 98 miles an hour. I mean, that's a guy that they do have Stroman's brother committed to Duke. That might be a little bit harder of a pull considering the Duke connection there. But yeah, it's just gonna be really fun to see them get to work, and I can't wait. I think I even texted Brady Kirkpatrick and was like, again, I was like, I can't wait for you guys to get started. I know you guys are, it's been a whirlwind of a morning with motions and trying to figure out what's going on. Now they've got to figure out, they're moving, they're all moving. They got to figure out how to retain some of these kids, so they've got a lot of work to do. So I had to thank them just for replying to me. So I was like, I could have completely understood if they didn't reply to my messages. But it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, over the next couple of months to see what this staff's able to do with the transfer portal and what recruits are going to be able to be retained from the Virginia side and coming over from the Duke side.
I'm glad you mentioned Eric Becker in that situation because I've told a couple people, I got to sit down and talk to his dad Jeff last year, who was a great baseball player at Duke back when, Duke was what it was back there in the 90s, but he was a great player back then, and I know that Eric and his brother really considered Duke, and they like the relationship there from when I've talked to them, and like you said, I think you mentioned earlier maybe to me that you asked Brian O'Connor about, kind of pulling one on Pollard there. And that's kind of what it was. Like that was a big win to get them away from Duke. So it's going to be interesting now to see, does that relationship come up? I know obviously there are no shortage of suitors for Eric Becker, especially in Starkville, Mississippi and beyond in the SEC. But it is, at least opens the door a little bit because you have that relationship there with Chris Pollard. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, his younger brother Nicky is like a top 40 MLB draft prospect. So that's tough anyways, like no matter what college coach you are. But it'll be interesting just to see what Pollard can do in a short time to kind of get this roster going. Obviously, the transfer portal has been going. I mean, Monty, we got to change the transfer portal for baseball. What's the rush? What's the rush to get to
I don't know.
it?
And that's why Mississippi State went so quickly. Like they got eliminated, and I think with it thought it was like 20 minutes. It turned out to be like an hour and a half, but it felt like 20 minutes where they announced O'Connor. But O'Connor had to get going. I mean, that the transfer portal opened, I think, the next day. And it's tough. And you're going to get more guys entering the portal here because there's a lot of guys who are still playing who rightfully so won't enter the portal until the season's over. Which is good. But yeah, I don't know why we're rushing, because you're screwing over the head coaching changes now, because now Duke, whoever takes over the Duke job is now in trouble, which from what I understand, that job is moving very quickly as well. I think Pollard gave them a pretty good heads up, and I think they got rolling real quick. And I have a feeling that news is going to break very quickly. But at the same time, you're still screwed because you got to figure out who's leaving, who's staying, and you know. That gave O'Connor time when he got to Mississippi State to meet with the guys that were already there before even worrying about recruiting guys. So it's just going to be a lot of work to be done. But yeah, the modern transfer portal is brutal with how early it starts.
Yeah, I mean, with football and to some extent basketball, it makes sense that kind of have those quick windows in to get started quicker because you've got the next semester, kind of coming up, or you got the draft. And with baseball, it's like, all right, well, you finish the season in middle of June when all the teams are done, and then players are off playing summer ball anyway, or they're getting ready for the MLB draft, and your roster's not getting put together until probably August, September. Anyways, so I just it when I, it struck me that all right, we're opening this right after the regionals, and it just kind of accelerates everything. But I mean, that's the system that it's at right now. But looking at I guess let's look big picture, and then we can look at next season, Monty, and then we'll be done here. Can Chris Pollard kind of stabilize UVA after losing O'Connor, what he's done for 22 years of that program, everything that he built at UVA? Can he at least stabilize it and continue kind of being at the top of the ACC, you think?
I mean, the good news is with that transfer portal, you have that ability, right? So it's just going to depend what they're able to do. The thing is, the nice thing about Virginia fans is yes, the standards are high, the expectations are high, but they will be patient. They're smart enough to know what he's up against. It's just going to depend on how quickly they're able to get guys in and make impact guys and get that team ready together. But big picture over the next couple of years, absolutely. I think he's fine. Like I said, I think he's the perfect fit in terms of culture and what he's trying to do and what Virginia is all about. He can find he'll put his own stamp on it, but he's going to continue the Virginia way, and it's going to become more of a program thing than an O'Connor thing, which is also good. And I think Brian O'Connor himself would probably love that. I know Pollard and Oak, I don't know how close they are, but they are certainly friends. And I imagine the Pollard talked to Oak before taking this job. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And I imagine, he's also the right guy for the job. Think about how you're filling the shoes of somebody who, if he hadn't left, there'd be a statue, and there still could be a statue someday, but it'd be the stadium or something would be named after Brian O'Connor if he stayed. So these are big shoes to fill. This is Chris Pollard, who I think is somebody who can absolutely handle that kind of pressure. He is going to be himself, but he's also very similar to O'Connor, and again, that kind of I'm going to develop a young man, and that development coincides with winning, which I think is important to our fan base. We want the classy, graceful leader of our program that Brian O'Connor was, and Chris Pollard's very much like that, a little bit more intense than Oak is, but just a wonderful guy. He's also the president of the D1 coaches committee, the rules committee. Like this is a guy who knows the rules. So by the way, if you see him argue with umpires, chances are he's correct, because I've never seen him argue with an umpire when he's been wrong. He may get ejected, but he was right.
I also want to make the point, last night you had that crazy all end of game, interference call that, I mean, in real time, Monty, I mean, watching it on TV, I thought it was clearly interference, but then, you go slow-mo replay and it looks completely different.
I'm with you. I mean, the moment, yeah, I thought Wally like slid into him. And then a replay, it looked like he just nicked him as he was sliding cleanly into the bag. So, props to Pollard for challenging that, but I mean, you have to challenge it anyway, even if it was a blatant, because I think, and I mean, Murray State, just a side note, props to them for, because they dogpile. And now they had to reset because it very well could, I mean, I was like, oh my God, Duke's going to walk this off. But props to Murray State for resetting there, because that takes a lot of mental capacity to reset after you celebrated an Omaha visit. So props to them. But yeah, he knows the rules. He's one of the guys in charge of shepherding the rules committee, and he's a fantastic leader, not just for a program, but for the sport. And he cares about the sport, and part of why he gives me so much access, because I try to promote college baseball as a whole, and I'm just so grateful for that. So I'm really excited about Chris Pollard, in case you could not tell from this whole interaction here today.
One other thing that I noted from the broadcast last night is something that Virginia fans are going to be really excited about. And that was they said on the broadcast last night that I think they've only had 14 sacrifice bunts this season. So bunting is not a big part of his playbook down there.
I, not not it's yeah I think ET has a Eric Tyler has a part of that. I think also the team dynamic didn't necessarily fit as well. Wallace Clark was a big bunter, but even in moments, there was a big moment where I thought Wally should have bunted. I think this is against Georgia Tech in the last regular season, and Wally is their best bunter, leadoff guy, 4-year guy, and they opted to let him swing away, because he'd done so in that situation. I kind of loved that. Yeah, and if I think they'll adapt depending on the team makeup. But if they've got boppers like Duke had this year, I mean, you had Jake Berger in the 9 hole who hits all massive home runs. I think Mason Winslow was in the 8 hole or the 7 hole last night, and he had three huge home runs this postseason. So that is a big stat. I didn't even catch that. I just assumed that they did a lot of stack bunting. I remember asking, I was a little afraid to ask Pollard after that Georgia Tech game because they had lost. But yeah, it was just a big stack. We know Oak. I mean, I saw Oak bunt with Chris Arroyo this year a couple of times, which is kind of bonkers.
It's crazy, and I've always, it's funny just the reaction that it generates with UVA fans, especially because, a lot of people would wait until the postseason and start watching and be like, what are you doing bunting with, Eric Becker or, whoever it was? And I'm just like, well, I mean, that's just kind of
That's
what it is. That's who.
our childhood UVA coming through in the modern UVA. Because small ball and pitching was what we grew up on, right?
Yeah,
So.
and it's changed a lot since the small ball days, and it's they got definitely a lot more power over the last few years. And we'll see what Chris Pollard has in store for us. But Monty, thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your long drive, your
Absolutely.
commute to the Mecca of college baseball in Omaha. I hope you enjoy, man.
Yeah, I'm just glad I was able to talk with you before next season, because otherwise I won't see you until next season. So
I know.
I'm glad
I
I'm
thought we
glad
were
we
going
were
to have
able
a
to do
lot
this.
more conversations this season, but just the way things went, we had you on here for the preview podcast. Don't worry, we're not going to revisit any of those predictions.
Good, good, good. We were bamboozled.
Yeah, it was a weird one for sure. But Monty, thanks for joining here on the Who's On podcast,
Absolutely.
and safe travels. All right, that'll do it for us here on this emergency podcast, reacting to Chris Pollard becoming the next head baseball coach at the University of Virginia. We will see you next week here on the Who's On podcast.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.